This is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message, already in progress, by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Will everyone please stand with us? Said I wasn't gonna tell nobody, but I just couldn't keep it to myself. God bless you, choir. Amen. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege. We pray, oh Lord, that you would speak a word into our hearts and into our minds, a word that will remind us that you are God and that you are God all by yourself. We thank you as we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And we're going to read a whole bunch of verses there. Not right now. I just want you to follow along with us as we go through this particular passage on this morning. Now, I will be reading from the New Living Translation, and you need to know, for those of you who don't know, the Living Bible is not a translation. Okay, you need to know the difference between a translation and a paraphrase. The Living Bible is a paraphrase, which means a man is quoting it the way he thinks it reads, all right? But the New Living Translation is a translation, meaning that it was translated from the original Greek, all right? It's very important that you understand. I like the Living Bible because it's an easy read, but I have to constantly remind myself that it is a paraphrase and not a translation. All right, y'all can sit down. I'm gonna talk this morning about this little thought that David did not kill Goliath. David did not kill Goliath, all right? God bless you. Thank you, ushers. We all face obstacles in life. And part of what makes life fantastic, part of what makes life exciting, one of the things that makes life worthwhile and energizing is having a goal or a purpose or a call on your life that is so worthwhile that we will fight through any obstacle. We will overcome any difficulty, literally move any mountain to overcome it. And I'm not just talking about lofty, world-changing things that we see and hear about and admire that other people do. I look for some inspiring stories about people overcoming so that I could further illustrate what I want to do this morning, and I found some good stories. There's one about a shooting champion who lost his right hand in a grenade accident, and he had to relearn how to shoot with his left hand, and he went on to win an Olympic gold medal. Or a guy, you could leave it like it was. Just leave the mic just like it was. Amen. Leave it just like it was. Don't change a thing. Amen. Good. Thank you. All right. Y'all, see, I knew something was changing. All right. All right. But that's one good story that illustrates the stuff we'll do in order to overcome trouble and trials. Amen. There's another story, and some of them we know very well because we watch them on the news. We see people who have to contend with troubles and adversities, and they fight the good fight of faith, and they overcome triumphantly, and we're able to brag and boast about what they've done. As a matter of fact, some of you sitting in here, if you could testify right now, you would be able to tell as you look back over your own life, how some things you went through, things that you thought would take you out, things that you thought would defeat you and undermine your destiny, but you're here this morning as a survivor, and you're able to testify about what God is able to do. I want to take us to the story of David and Goliath and see what we can learn together from that story. The story is in 1 Samuel 17, but before we go there and read the story, I have an important new insight to share. What you and I were taught in Sunday school was wrong. What you and I have believed about this story is not correct. Upon further and closer investigation into the story, I'm standing here today in front of you to declare that we now know conclusively that David did not kill Goliath. You heard me correctly this morning. David did not kill Goliath. I see y'all looking at me. And some of you are wondering, Pastor, is there some new archaeological evidence to support this crazy claim? Is there some weird linguistic nuance in the original Hebrew that scholars are just now figuring out? Some new ancient manuscript recently discovered in Israel that proves my point? No, none of that. It's actually in the biblical story itself. Let's read it together and find out together. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 17. The Philistines now mustered their army for battle and camped between Socah in Judah and Azekah at Ephes-Damim. Saul countered by gathering his Israelite troops near the valley of Elah. So the Philistines and Israelites faced each other on opposite hills with the valley between them. Then Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gath, came out of the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. He was over 9 feet tall. He wore a bronze helmet, and his bronze coat of mail weighed 125 pounds. He also wore bronze leg armor, and he carried a bronze javelin on his shoulder. The shaft of his spear was as heavy and thick as a weaver's beam, tipped with an iron spearhead that weighed 15 pounds. His armor bearer walked ahead of him carrying a shield. Okay, let's pause right there to absorb how intimidating this guy actually is. The record says he is 9 feet tall. I said 9 feet tall. A coat of mail weighing 125 pounds. That's like hanging 14 four-gallon jugs of milk off of your shoulders to fight in. 125 pounds is the weight limit of the featherweight division of boxing. So it's possible that David himself only weighed about that much. And this spear, a long, heavy shaft with a bag and a half of flour hanging off the end of it, that is a significant obstacle. I wonder this morning how many of you have faced obstacles in your life that when you looked at them at face value, they seemed unbeatable and insurmountable. Well, verse 8 says, Goliath stood and shouted a taunt across to the Israelites. Look at what he said. He said, "Why are you all coming out to fight? I am the Philistine champion, but you are only the servants of Saul. Choose one man to come down here and fight me." Verse 9. "If he kills me, then we will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves." Verse 10. "I defy the armies of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight me." When Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. Any volunteers? Here's one of the key factors when we face any obstacle. It might look intimidating. It might look threatening. It might look dangerous and untackleable. It might even leave us terrified and deeply shaken. And that's okay, because David did not kill Goliath. Read on with me. Verse 12. Now David was the son of a man named Jesse, an Ephrathite, from Bethlehem in the land of Judah. Jesse was an old man at that time, and he had 8 sons. Jesse's 3 oldest sons, Eliab, Abinadab, and Shimeah, had already joined Saul's army to fight the Philistines. David was the youngest son. David's 3 oldest brothers stayed with Saul's army, but David went back and forth so he could help his father with the sheep in Bethlehem. For 40 days, every morning and evening, the Philistine champion strutted in front of the Israelite army. Now, what I want y'all to notice right here is the timing. This taunting is going on every day, twice a day, for 40 days, and nothing changes. It doesn't go away. This is another important factor when we face an obstacle. You need to know that those obstacles many times don't move themselves. Goliath doesn't get bored and move on to another army. And God doesn't strike him dead while he sleeps and solve the problem for the Israelites. The army of Israel does nothing, probably because of their fear, so nothing changes. I'm trying to tell somebody this morning that if you're going to win life's battle, amen, you can't always run and hide. If you're going to win life's battles, you can't do like the ostrich, amen, and stick your head in a hole in the ground. If you're going to fight the good fight of faith, you've got to make up in your mind that there are some things as it relates to your soul, as it relates to your spirit, as it relates to your walk with God. You've got to make up in your mind that there are some things you're going to have to fight for. Do I have any witnesses in this room this morning? You figured out along life's way that, amen, sometimes you've got to fight. Sometimes you've got to, amen, get the nerve and the strength to overcome your fear and say, with God, I'm going to fight this battle. But let's read on. Verse 17. One day Jesse said to David, take this basket of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread and carry them quickly to your brothers and give these 10 cuts of cheese to their captain. See how your brothers are getting along and bring back a report on how they're doing. Verse 19. David's brothers were with Saul and the Israelite army at the Valley of Elah fighting against the Philistines. So David left the sheep with another shepherd and set out early the next morning with the gifts, as Jesse had directed him. He arrived at the camp just as the Israelite army was leaving for the battlefield with shouts and battle cries. Soon the Israelite and Philistine forces stood facing each other, army against army. Verse 22, David left his things with the keeper of supplies and hurried out to the ranks to greet his brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, came out from the Philistine ranks. Then David heard him shout his usual taunt to the army of Israel. Verse 24, as soon as the Israelite army saw him, they began to run away in fright. Have you seen the giant, the men asked? He comes out each day to defy Israel. The king has offered a huge reward to anyone who kills him. He will give that man one of his daughters for a wife, and the man's entire family will be exempted from paying taxes. Oh, my, oh, my. Wouldn't that be a blessing today? If you just fight the good fight of faith, you would be exempt from paying taxes. That'll wake some folk up. David asked the soldiers standing nearby, what will a man get for killing this Philistine and ending his defiance of Israel? Who is this pagan Philistine anyway that he is allowed to defy the armies of the living God? And these men gave David the same reply. They said, yes, that is the reward for killing him. Now, y'all, here's an interesting little sidebar, if you will. there's obviously some sibling tension going on. Because when you look at verse 28, look at it. It says, but when David's oldest brother Eliab heard David talking to the men, he was angry. What are you doing around here anyway? He demanded. What about those few sheep you're supposed to be taking care of? I know about your pride and deceit. You just want to see the battle. Verse 29, what have I done now? David replied, I was only asking a question. So there was some sibling rivalry going on. Any of y'all ever experienced that in your families? You know, you love your siblings, you love those brothers and sisters, but for some reason along the way, amen, there's a tension between you. And that's what was happening here in the life of David. It probably helps if I let you know that in the previous chapter, chapter 16, which was probably about 5 years earlier, the priest Samuel had already anointed David as the next king of Israel. His brothers knew it. They were there and had been rejected as the next king in favor of their little brother. And my brothers and sisters, that is no doubt behind some of this tension and conflict. And there's another reality about obstacles here, which is an unfortunate one. And that reality is that sometimes the people we expect to stand with us and help us are also overwhelmed with the obstacle and react negatively towards us. You need to be ready for that. Amen. Even as a Christian, and your brothers and sisters are Christians, and your family and your friends are Christians, but sometimes the very folk you think that will have your back, the very folk that you think will be there to help you overcome that obstacle will be nowhere to be found. Do I have any witnesses here today? Amen. As long as things were going good for you, as long as things were going well for you, they were there cheering you on. But as soon as a little trouble comes, the very folk that you think ought to be there to help you will leave you out there by yourself. That's why I like to tell you, you better know Jesus. You better get on the Lord's side. You better get the Lord on your side. Do I have any witnesses today? Verse 30. He walked over to some others and asked them the same thing and received the same answer. Then David's question was reported to King Saul, and the king sent for him. Don't worry about this Philistine, David told Saul. Okay, here's another bit of context. David is about 15 years old. A sheep herding food delivery boy. Amen. And he tells the king, King, don't worry about this Philistine. Y'all, that's what faith will do. And you don't have to be old to have faith. I want our young people to know and understand that you too can walk by faith, that you too can live by faith, that the stuff that you hope for, the stuff that you desire in your life, it can be yours if you have faith to believe that God can do it. Are there any young people in the room today who believe that God is going to help you accomplish your purpose, that God is going to help you reach your destiny? Are there any people in this room today who understand that when you walk by faith and not by sight, God will open doors for you? I know I got two or three folk who can look back over their life and you know you didn't get there because you were so smart. You know you didn't get there because you had friends in high places, but it was because of your faith in God. Faith will move mountains. Faith will open doors. Faith will make a way out of no way. Faith will bring healing to your body. Faith will bring that wayward child home. Faith will do what doubt cannot do. Somebody ought to thank God for faith today. David said, King, don't you worry about this Philistine. Amen. Verse 33, don't be ridiculous, Saul said. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth. In other words, a king, Saul said, Goliath has been fighting battles his whole life. Since he was a child, he's been fighting battles. He says, don't be ridiculous. And y'all, you need to understand that those words are expected from Saul. Amen. This particular solution to the obstacle named Goliath really is ridiculous. There is no way, is what Saul says. And that's interesting because from a human perspective, sending a small 15-year-old boy out against a 9-foot giant is kind of ridiculous. Do I have a witness today? But can I tell you something? Sometimes that's just how God works. Anybody ever seen God work through the ridiculous? What folks said was ridiculous? Oh, you'll never, your credit is not good enough. You know your credit is jacked up from the floor. You'll never get that car. You'll never get that house. Oh, you don't have a degree. You'll never get that job. Oh, you're not friends with this person or that person. That's ridiculous. You ought not even apply for that job. It's ridiculous that you think you could get that job. I know I got 2 or 3 folk up in this house who can say, Pastor, I have seen God work through some ridiculous situations. I have seen God make ways when folks said it would never happen. You ought to give him praise today. Verse 34, and I'm almost done. I know it's a lot of reading, but I just wanted y'all to walk with me this morning. Verse 34, it says, but David persisted. I have been taking care of my father's sheep and goats. When a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. Y'all, you got to have a testimony. I'm telling you, amen, your testimony will make a way for you. Your testimony will make room for you. And let me tell you, some of those small battles that you've had along the way ought to give you enough faith to say that the mountains ahead will come down. What did Jesus say? He said, if you have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, you don't need a lot. Just use what you got. Amen. He said, you'll be able to speak to the yonder mountain, be thou removed, and it shall be cast into the sea. David says, I got a faith file. Come on, how many of you got a faith file? David went into his faith file. He said, yeah, you think it's ridiculous, but I got a faith file. In my faith file, I can pull out a card that says, a bear came against me, and I defeated the bear. A lion came against me, and I defeated the lion. Some of you ought to have a faith file. Sickness came against me, but I survived another day. Trouble came against me, but I survived another day. Folk lied on me, talked about me, counted me out, but I'm here today. I've got a faith file. Thank God for your faith file. He says in verse 36, I have done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine, for he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion, the Lord who rescued me from the claws of the bear, will rescue me from this Philistine. David's reply shows a willingness to present his credentials and win his first battle. This one with the king rather than with Goliath. And that is how obstacles often are in our lives. Not just one big battle, but a series of smaller fights, smaller decisions leading up to the larger confrontation. Saul finally consented. Look at it. He says, all right, then go ahead and may the Lord be with you. Come on, how many of you can say that sometimes that's all you need? Amen, amen. You don't want to go, but if you can just encourage me by telling me, may the Lord be with me. As a matter of fact, turn to your neighbor and just tell him, may the Lord be with you. Come on, come on. You don't know what that neighbor's going through. You don't know what fight they're fighting. You don't know what sickness they're dealing with, but you can offer a word of hope, a word of encouragement this morning by leaning over and telling them, may the Lord be with you. Saul said, go ahead. But then verse 38, y'all, and I promise I'm almost done. Then Saul gave David his armor, a bronze helmet and a coat of mail. David put it on, put on Saul's stuff, this little boy. He puts on the king's armor. Amen. He strapped the sword over it. He took a step or two to see what it was like, for he had never worn such things before. Now, I want y'all to see the humor in this. I see a king trying desperately to help God, but seeing it only through human eyes. I don't know about y'all, but I need some folk on my side who don't see everything through human eyes. I need some folk praying for me who don't see everything through human eyes. Come on, I need prayer partners who are able to see things through the eyes of Almighty God. Yeah. Amen. I need prayer partners who understand that this fight is not won by might, it's not won by power, but by the Spirit of the living God. Yeah. Am I by myself in this place? I need family members who encourage me as they look at my situation through the eyes of the Holy Ghost. Is there anybody here this morning? You're in the midst of a fight and you understand that the only way you're going to win the fight is with the help of God. Amen. Amen. David told Saul, he said, I can't go in this. I'm not used to this. So David took them off. Amen. He picked up 5 smooth stones. He got them out of a stream. He put them in his shepherd's bag. Then armed only with his shepherd's staff and sling, he started out across the valley to fight the Philistine. Verse 41, Goliath walked out toward David with his shield bearer ahead of him. Verse 42, he's sneering in contempt at this ruddy-faced boy. Look at what he says in verse 43. He asked the question, am I a dog? He roared at David, that you come to me with a stick? He cursed David by the names of his God. Come over here and I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals. That's what Goliath told David. But y'all, I need you to look at how David responds. In verse 45, it says, David replied to the Philistine, you come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heavens, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Verse 46, he says, today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head, and then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals. I'm trying to tell you how to fight your life's battles, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. Verse 47, and everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and not with spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us. Well, there it is. Did you get it this morning? Who killed Goliath? It wasn't David. He said, today the Lord will conquer you. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us. And I need to tell you that this is not a facetious playing with words. This, I think, is the most important fact of all when we face obstacles in this life that seek to prevent us from all that God has for us to do. The point is this, the battle belongs to the Lord. David doesn't kill Goliath. God does. Now, yes, he uses David to do it, just like he used Moses to lead the people out of Egypt. But don't make no mistake about it. God is the one
who does it? Do I have a witness today? Is there anybody here?